you know that when Journey's manager presented them with Steve Perry, no one wanted him?
Really?
In the band?
That's wild.
Yeah.
Man.
They said, this guy's a crooner. Like, he's got this high voice. Like, he's an opera singer. We want to rock and roll. We want rah, 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 you know, and they were wrong.
Well, I'm sure they were happy to be wrong all those record sales.
They embraced it.
Yeah.
I have a story that I think is also an analogy to what's going on in the world. Have you guys seen this viral story about the hunter and the wolf?
No.
So there's this guy named Cody Roberts. Everyone's doxing him out there, so I'm not doing it originally. And I forget the exact story. He either hit the wolf with his car or he ran it down or something. He didn't legitimately catch it or hunt it. It was something screwed up like that. And then he takes this wolf that is completely worn down and he tapes its muzzle shut really, really tight. And he takes it to this local S-kicker bar and starts torturing it in front of everyone and then ends up shooting it and killing it after posing with it. All I have to do is Google Cody Roberts. You'll see it. And he's only being fined $250 for possessing the wolf. And my point is, while there are a couple of hunters out there who are like, yeah, the beasts are our domain, for the most part, 99.9% of hunters out there who I have great respect for are saying, this is terrible. This is awful. This is animal abuse. Hunters respect the animal, especially those that you kill, and you kill for food. And I really respect the hell out of the hunters who are coming out against this guy, saying that this should be a felony. This guy should probably go to jail for some time. And my analogy is that the MLB should do the same thing with Angel Hernandez, and the House should do the same thing with Marjorie Taylor Greene. The GOP should. And the crazies in Jefferson City, the GOP should you know, monitor them. We should be calling out our own. And so I appreciate that the hunting world is coming out against this guy because he makes them look bad the same way Angel Hernandez, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and the Freedom Caucus make the GOP look bad. Thoughts?
Generally, with the big picture thing, totally agree. I mean, if you're not calling out your own, then you're not doing it right. Period, the end. You have to call out your own or you're not doing it right because then you're a hypocrite. If you're only going to call out people that aren't a part of your little group, then you're doing it wrong and you're a hypocrite. This guy should have the same treatment to him that he gave to that animal. We should tape his mouth shut and torture him in front of, and I'm kidding, I'm being a smart ass. But like, where's the, there's something wrong with you. You are psychologically damaged if you're doing this. I mean, we know that this is the kind of stuff that serial killers do before they start killing humans. I'm not saying this guy is going to be that, but we know that it's aberrant behavior. Why is it just a $250 fine? I can get more than that for reckless driving.
Speeding ticket. Yeah.
I mean, just out and out intentional cruelty is aberrant behavior. And that, to me, I would not trust this person around other people if they have that in them. There's something wrong with you. I'm not talking about hunters. There's a difference, right? I mean, if it's a legal hunt, if it's with a purpose, if it's, like you said, for food, even if it's not for that. I mean, I understand people hunt deer because if the population grows too much, it actually becomes really bad for the deer, right? I'm not crapping on any of that. But if you're going to do what this guy did and parade the animal around after you did it the way that he did, even if you did it, clean and it was legal, and you needed to, I don't know that wolves should be hunted at this point. They've been on that border of endangered for too long. But again, if it was a legal thing and all that, and after you did it, quote unquote, cleanly, you showed people what you did, I understand that. This is sick. That person is, that dude is sick.
What's the punishment if you torture a pet? I mean, I'm sure it varies from state to state, but
I don't know.
It seems like it would be more than a $250 fine if you're, like, abusing dogs.
I would hope so.
I would hope so, too. That's just, this seems like such a low punishment for what he did.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it just, there's a cruelty in that guy that is a sign of something wrong with you.
Well, and what's up with all the people at the bar hanging out with him? Not one person wanted to step up and say, this is pretty messed up. You should stop doing this.
It's probably because he's the violent guy. Well, it's probably that.
Took pictures, I think, with the pelt afterwards. Big smiles on their face. Such.
Yeah, I'm not, I mean, again, I this is not about all hunters. I'm not a big fan of the trophy hunters. I'm not a big fan of killing animals that are endangered or specifically seeking out, like going out to the safari and killing tigers and killing lions or going to India and killing tigers. I think that's, you're just a jerk. You are a damaged person if you want to go hunt rhino or if you want to go hunt elephants and then act like you did something.
Mm-hmm.
You use superior technology with expert guides that you don't have any connection with other than you're paying them to lead you right to where you need to go and probably protect you in case you get in danger. You are nothing special if you're doing that.
Stairway to Kevin?
Oh, man, I could start right with that.
I how Wheels is like, we should torture this guy. I'm kidding.
No,
I'm kidding.
I mean, I was being a smartass because I'll put it this way. Unless you consider jailing them torture.
Right.
Because that guy should spend time in jail, like real jail.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And see how he likes being the prey. Because that guy's not going into a real prison and running the show. He's going to be the new fish. That's what he needs to experience.
Kevin knows the prison lingo.
I watched Shawshank. All right, so I mean, kind of on, it's not exactly like this, but it's kind of on this note. But I've been, I know I've mentioned it a couple times. I've been watching the Cold War documentary from Frontline on Netflix the last couple weeks, just slowly watching it and fascinated by just, you know, because it all started with nukes, right? That was what really kind of made it a Cold War rather than a hot war. But we learned that lesson because people were really hurt by it, right? They were doing the testing out in Nevada. Well, there was a dance camp near there, and they didn't tell anybody about it, and they were outside during the fallout, and not one of the girls at this dance camp lived past 30.
Wow.
Right? So this cruelty, it's kind of why I brought this topic along with this. And I understand, you know, hey, we got to end the war. We got to have this before they do. If they have it before we do, it could be the end. I understand the dynamics. But we learn these lessons through such cruelty. And then just last week, I saw the story that the movie Oppenheimer opened in Japan recently. And it's interesting to hear the differing views from Japanese citizens. Some of them were mad that the movie didn't show the outcome because it didn't convey the horror. Mm. You just did that through the faces of Oppenheimer and Truman and right. It wasn't shown to you the horror of this. And there were others there though, that were like happy that the story was told at least to some degree. And I don't know. I mean, it's such a strange conversation because in that particular case, what if the first time it had been used wasn't then, but what if it was 10, 15 years later when both countries had the weapon? What would happen if it was that case? And I'm not saying it justifies anything. That's not my point at all. It's just an interesting thought exercise, you know, as you like to put it, Dave, where if that didn't happen, then say the Japanese had surrendered when Europe fell, when Germany fell, and they just said, okay, it's over, we're done. If that had not been used, then how much different does it happen? How does that all play out differently? How does our relationship with the Soviet, maybe there is no Cold War.
Yeah.
If it doesn't end up going that way, if we have this weapon and never use it, and then they don't have the urgency to get it, although they would know we had it. Nobody would have seen.
Aren't you surprised that, to our knowledge, there has not been another super weapon that is so far above the atom bomb or the hydrogen bomb or the neutron bomb, whatever nuke that is the big boy on the block, that comparing the biggest, baddest bomb we had in 1945 to the atomic bomb, whatever number of exponential levels that we would have, you know, we got something cool, but it's surprising that we don't know what it is and someone hasn't shopped it out there.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that some of it is there's just no necessity, right? Like, necessity is the mother of invention. What we have now, but also what we have now can end the world.
Yeah.
Right? Like, how much bigger can you really go without it ending the world anyway? You know, I mean, if you have enough to end the world, then what's the point of even going further than that? Because there's nothing worse than that. But I wonder what could it be? The only thing I could think of that would fit, Dave, would be the stuff that would actually end up being on the microscopic scale where you're doing more like, chemical warfare or some kind of biological warfare where it would not take out millions and millions of people in one fell swoop and lead to a back and forth. Although I guess that probably could, right? If you could prove that you use that
Isn't
kind
it
of
crazy
weaponry.
That it's all these decades later and it's still empire building.
It just
intuitively feels like we should have moved on past that. You know,
like, what does it matter?
I saw an article today on Drudge that if Trump's elected, he's going to allow Putin to take over Europe. I don't worry about that. I don't like Donald Trump, but I don't think he's going to let Putin take over Europe. But just the fact that we're even talking like that, what the hell is Putin want with Europe? You can't run Europe. What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, I was going to say, haven't we found through history that the if you go too big, you're done?
And I would say these people just need to die. This generation that's still remnants.
Still fighting the Cold War.
Still fighting the Cold War. Still thinking in terms of regimes and empires. But then you look like, and I know the Dune's not a documentary, but I mean, it seems that we think that we're going to continue this, if not get worse in the future.
Yeah. And it's strange, too, because, like, again, no matter what, any dynasty that has gotten too big has fallen. Because you can only cover so much.
Right.
You know, I mean, if the Roman, think about it this way. We always have the Roman Empire thoughts, right? Because we're dudes. What if they had just stopped?
It's like, what if enough was enough?
What if they had just stopped in their general region with like Spain and, you know, parts of the Eastern Europe and Italy? What if they had just stopped? How strong could they have been for how long? And what would they be now?
Yeah.
But they had to
it's
keep
like
going.
Like opening too many barbecue joints. Coming up at 3:30, we have Dave Murray talk about the weather. I think we have some rain moving in, headlines. Top of 4 o'clock hour, we have the Think Tank with Judge Tom Frawley and Jeff Rainford. What the hell's going on with the pyramids? I was watching TikTok today, and some guy was, parachuting past them. You could really see them, and we didn't build these things. For the love of God. I mean, we couldn't build them today. Plus,
It's 3:24 on a Tuesday. Dave says aliens built the pyramids.
Why did we stop building cool stuff? Like, to get, I know you can get a nice modern house.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go to like the Central West End and you see a 100-year-old house, it's so cool. Cars from the 50s and 60s, so much cooler than these friggin' boxes we're driving now. The pyramids, for the love of God. I mean, like, we just at some point, and I know we got cool stuff, but I mean, we have cool stuff because of the technology. We seem to have lost our eye for design and beauty just for the sake of beauty.
Well, we started demanding efficiency and mass production. We started demanding, you know, we need to build 500 houses in the span of 2 years. Instead of one house over the course of 4 years. So you can't do that kind of like intricate beauty. Instead, you just got to keep cranking them out with, you know, nasty, you know, generic siding or whatever. And, you know,
yeah, wow, I mean,
it's really kind of funny to refer to siding as nasty.
I mean,
just nasty siding.
Also, number one, we're also like mean people. Like, if you did monuments now, people would be like, it sucks. It's stupid. Why are you even doing that anymore?
Nice pyramid.
And also, could you imagine how much it would cost to build a pyramid if you couldn't? I mean, they had slave labor. Like, literally, people not working for anything, doing all of that. I mean, the costs would be insane to do those things.
I mean, probably not more than the sphere.
I understand.
Oh, way more.
That you're talking about thousands of years ago and that the pharaoh was a god.
Right.
I get that.
Right.
But when one cat says, you're going to build this thing just so I can be there when I'm dead, think of the grumbling. Like, you know, we grumble at our jobs. Imagine you're building the pyramids for that bald guy over there so that when he dies, he can shoot up to heaven and be with Ra or whatever. And, oh, they must have hated their life.
Well, they were slaves. Like, if you spoke up, they just kill you.
I think that every time I would like to bring up Game of Thrones again, I can't remember if this was on or off the air. And again, like Dune, I realize it's not a documentary, but every time they're like, come fight with me. It's like, why? I want to stay in my nice, cozy house. What are you talking about?
That's
so I can go die for a king that doesn't care about me. No,
that's why those leaders invented the ideas of death with honor and, you know, do it for your country, do it for your motherland or your fatherland. Well, no, actually, you're asking me to do it for you. Mm-hmm. And if I die for you, you get to win and have all the glory, and I'll be dead.
Kind of going back a couple hours, like to the landed gentry, that if we're all lords and I have a fiefdom and Rach is the queen and she comes to me and she's like, hey, Dave, you have 50,000 acres. How would you like 150,000 acres? Like, I'd like that a lot. Well, we'll go out and get your peons to join you and come fight for me.
Right?
Peons didn't work out so well, but Dave's now got 200,000 acres.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And the queen got what she wanted.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
I like the scenario where I am the queen.
I like the scenario where I have 200,000 acres.
Yeah, well.
And you know why? Because I made Andrew fight.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is, at the time, it was like, yeah, this is just normal.
You got nasty siding.
Yeah.
Welcome back. DGS 335 in the dot. Dave Murray joins us. Hello, Dave.
Hello there.
So, Dave, I think you know this. Today, my mom went to a facility where she'll probably be staying. It's rehab, but it's rehab in quotes.
Right.
And I was thinking how very, very similar it felt to dropping Phoebe off at college. And I think you get that. You've dropped your son off at college. You've taken your dad to a nursing home.
Yep.
It's all brand new. They're nervous. They don't know anybody. You want to walk around and introduce them and, hey, this is my mom and she's really cool, or this is my son and he's the best. But at some point, you have to let them have their own way of doing things.
Right. Yeah. And that's, you know, my brother and I were both involved in that. And before, my mom kind of had picked the facility that they were going to go into. Now, obviously, my dad supported it. And they did it early enough before they were sunk, so to speak.
Yeah.
But when my brother and I kind of took the reins over, my mom had already passed away. You know, your first meeting is with management.
Yeah.
And exactly what are they doing and how much is it and what you can expect from them. And then you go to see the nurses and you see the help and you talk to them and you figure out what's going on. Make sure that they know who you are.
Right.
And that you could pop in at any time.
Amen.
A lot of these places say, oh, you've got to call and let us know you're coming. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Just show up.
Agreed.
And that keeps everybody on their toes when it comes to your parent or parents.
Yeah, 100%. And it really did. I said this on the show yesterday, and this is something I knew. I'm not a dumb guy. And if you would have said, like, hey, do you think this is the way that the medical system works? I would have thought about it and said, yeah, I think it probably is. But seeing it up close and personal now over the last week or so since my mom had her fall, doctors are independent. Nurses are independent. I don't think that they are beholden to anyone, but they are so constrained by the insurance companies that I am convinced that no one out there is getting truly the best care because of insurance companies.
No, I've had some doctors who have been very good friends, and they say 50, 60, even 70% of their time is dealing with insurance companies. And you know where that time comes from. It comes from the patients.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess we wouldn't be, I mean, you know, right now my mom's in rehab and it's all covered by insurance. And that has to be thousands and thousands and thousands of right. dollars. So without that insurance, we'd be up you-know-what creek. But mm-hmm. at the same time, quickly. You do get mad at them because when the doctor says, well, my best advice is X, but they're not going to say yes to that, so let's try to fall back to Y. Then you're like, well,
yeah.
Just not great.
I think, I see that. In my medical care mm-hmm. at 70 years old. Mm-hmm. And I think people who are still working see it in their medical care.
Yeah.
It's not going in the right direction.
Yeah. Dave, we have some wet weather on the way, right?
Yeah. A couple of unsettled days. It's not a thunderstorm outbreak. It's not even a lot of heavy rain. The heaviest rain will be over southeast Missouri, southern Illinois, and points south and southeast. But it's kind of a wet stretch. Again, I don't see a lot of rain, but it's a nice rain. Could be a rumble of thunder, a flash of lightning here and there. And that starts to unfold tomorrow, especially during the afternoon, 65 tomorrow. Periods of rain Wednesday night, some rumbles. It's windy, 52. Thursday, another wet day. Periods of rain, spot rumbles, windy, 62. Clear it out. It's a slow clearing process Thursday night. Friday, sunny and 68. Pretty nice afternoon. And then it's all about pure summer. We talked about this yesterday. Saturday and Sunday, dry, fair amount of sunshine, and 80 to 85 degrees for high temperatures Saturday and Sunday. This time of year, the warmest part of the day is about 3:30.
Right. Hey, can I get a ruling?
Yeah.
So I told Rachel's story earlier.
That scared me.
I'm not going to say the company. I don't feel like that'd be fair because it was a one-off. But it was not Goodwill, okay? I do a lot of stuff with Goodwill, and I decided to spread the love to a company like Goodwill and called and arranged for them to come pick up some stuff. And there was a couch that Nick had brought with him when he moved back in with me last summer, and a bed, the same thing that he had brought a bed frame in. And he and Bree had about 10 bags of clothes, and I had about 10 bags of clothes. And mine, I don't wear expensive clothes, but there was at least $1,000 worth of clothes just from me. And probably another $500-$600 worth of clothes from them. And then the couch and the bed. And so I see the guy out there and he's putting the stuff. I'm like, yay, it's all going away. And then he knocks on the door and he's like, yeah, we're not taking the couch. And I'm like, well, you knew you're taking the couch. And he's like, yeah, it's not that nice of a couch. Now, it's not ripped. There's no stuffing coming out of it. It's not a Restoration Hardware couch. It's a first couch. It's not a college couch, but it's a first couch. And I was like, well, is there a supervisor I could talk to? You know, is there someone who told you couldn't take it? And he goes, hey, why don't I just take all the stuff off the truck and put it back in your driveway?
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah.
This guy's working for a charity?
Yes. Yes, a big wow. one that you know their name.
Wow.
And I was like, well, how about if I just talk to your supervisor? He's like, I got to get on the truck and leave. Now I can put it all back in your driveway or I can just drive off with what I got.
Wow.
Pretty easy ruling, right?
I think that's a real easy ruling.
Yeah.
Because when you called, right? I assume you called or you did it online.
They had a list. I have an
you
email.
You told them what
that
you
says
had.
Exactly
yeah.
what it is.
Yeah. yeah. If you're saying here's what I'm giving away, they say great, well come get it.
And I would
then
get,
they should take.
I
it.
Would get it if the couch were like covered in dog pee or something. I was just trying to use them as a trash pickup, but it's a normal couch.
Was the dude alone?
Yeah.
Did he just not want to do it?
Maybe I don't know.
Oh, that might have been it.
Yeah,
that might have been it.
I think a lot of times places.
Now I don't know that he was alone. He was the only one I talked to.
Okay.
So he may have had someone in the truck with him. But yeah, that was really disappointing.
Yeah, a lot of times I think those people will use like freelance contractors, basically just a guy that will go out and throw furniture in the back, you know what I mean, for a few bucks. And I think that having had a kind of similar experience, sometimes those people don't have like the spirit of charity in them, let's say. They don't have the spirit of...
I mean, if I were the charitable organization and I heard somebody was creating that, it's one thing if you're saying, listen, I just don't have room, whatever.
I'm going to say, like, it's totally fine to not take the couch. I don't think the guy did anything wrong. He made a judgment call. But to take it to an aggressive level of like, all right, I'll just take everything off the truck. I think that's
dump
where
it
the,
all back in your
that's house. Where the yeah. harm
I
came in.
I think it is wrong to not take the couch. I would get it if it were a beater. I get that.
Yeah.
But when you are getting thousands of dollars of stuff, take the couch. Do me a solid. You know, don't just take all my valuable stuff and leave me with the stuff that I don't want.
Yeah. Well, again, especially if that was on the original list of things you said you were giving them.
Yes.
If they would have said, we don't really want the couch. That's a different thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not good service. That guy's being a jerk. And in all honesty, the only excuse you could come up with there that would be legit is, man, I had some bigger pickups than I thought. And we just don't have room.
Doesn't it suck to be on the crappy end of the stick of the power dynamic? Because when he says, like, I could take all this stuff off and put it back in your driveway. Well, I don't want that. You know, it's not worth having a pissy fight and then just ending up with all that stuff still there. But of course, like, the crappy part of me wanted to be like, yeah, why don't you do that? Why don't you just unload it and get your ass out of here?
Yeah. Tell him I'll call Goodwill.
Yeah. Call a real company.
And this guy would be like, I don't care.
Call real charity.
Yeah.
Want to do a couple headlines, Rich?
Sure. Headlines that are brought to you by Schnucks. Get personalized savings delivered to you in an instant with the Schnucks Rewards app. We've got a couple of polls we can get into here, but I'm going to skip these and maybe save them for tomorrow because we only have limited time. RFK Jr.'s campaign representative says that the goal of the campaign is to, quote, get rid of Biden. And people are taking this as confirmation that the campaign exists to help reelect Donald Trump.
I mean, I don't know how else you take that. It was one of his campaign chief managers who said our number one goal is to take out Biden.
Yeah, she said the Kennedy voter and the Trump voter, our mutual enemy is Biden.
We have the interesting. We have the audio. If
play,
you
it. Play it.
So right now, the way that I see it, and, you know, things, I guess, will change over time because you do have to only pick one candidate at the end of the day. But the Kennedy voter and the Trump voter, the enemy, our mutual enemy is Biden. Whether you support Bobby or Trump, we all oppose Biden. 270 wow. wins the election. If you don't get to 270, if nobody gets to 270, then Congress picks the president. Right. Right now, we have a majority of Republicans in Congress. So who are they going to pick? Who are they going to pick if it's a Republican Congress? They'll pick Trump. So we're rid of Biden either way.
Can I tell you something? So I was not in danger of voting for RFK, but now I am solidly anti him. And I would be anti him if he had said the opposite. If his
100%.
If he or his person would have said this is to get rid of Trump.
Right.
Who I don't want elected. I would be anti him, because how dare you just get into a race just to spoil it?
Yep, 100%. Also, he's a nepo baby. Like, sorry, if his name wasn't Kennedy, nobody cares what he has to say. And that's not diminishing what he thinks. It's a fact, because there are millions of people out there whose names are not Kennedy who believe those things and say those things, and they're not the candidate.
Yeah.
Nearly a trillion cicadas are expected to emerge in the U.S. this spring. A trillion. That is insane. Two different broods of cicadas make up this mass emergence, and they will impact areas of the southeast and midwest of the United States. So something to look forward to, you guys.
I'm ready to Google what eats cicadas.
I looked at the map today, and we're right in the belly of the beast.
Yeah.
It's going to be nice
dogs
and loud.
Dogs love them. Don't let your dogs eat them.
No, my
dogs
try to play with them. They think they're funny. So
yeah,
birds?
But then they love crunching on it.
82 bird species eat them.
Yeah.
Well, it says cats, dogs, raccoons, rats, mice, snakes. They're all going to get fat this year.
And one more story here before we take a break. A 58-year-old grandmother set the new world planking record for women. I originally read this as the record being 4 minutes and 30 seconds. And I was like, I'm knocking on that door. I could try to do that. No, it's 4 hours, 30 minutes
That's
and 11
different.
Seconds. It's a little different.
That's
different. A little more challenging.
Bored. Maybe she was just stuck that way.
But congratulations to her. Her name is Donna Jean Wild, and she's been certified by the Guinness World Records as the new women's world record holder for the longest time spent in an abdominal plank position.
Good for Betty. Thanks, Dave.
All right.
You guys want some fun facts?
Absolutely. Yeah.
The USDA has 1.5 billion pounds of cheese stashed in caves in Missouri.
Let's go.
Ooh. Did they say why?
Just in case we're out of cheese.
All right. Nah,
there
well,
was
I feel
something.
Safe.
It's cheese storage. I've tried to get us into these cheese caves before.
What?
And I couldn't get them to agree to let us come check
really?
Out the cheese.
Really?
Yeah.
I just learned something about this recently. Like, it was because I forget they had to buy it because some dumb reason, and then they can just they've been selling it off to restaurants. Like restaurants buy the government cheese.
Interesting.
And the caves are just cool enough to keep the cheese preserved.
I guess so.
I want to go to a cheese cave.
Me too.
I'll try again.
I'll even go to a Velveeta cave.
I think I'd rather go to a Velveeta cave.
The internet is divided by whether it is cool to wear a band's merch when you don't really listen to or enjoy their music.
Oh. It is cool?
People are divided.
Oh, yeah. It's not. To me, it's not
I'm
cool.
I'm a nay. Yeah. He can't really do that. Yeah.
I think it's fine if the shirt is really cool.
Okay, right. That is a good point.
You know what?
One time, I had like a Triumph t-shirt that I had, and I wore it to work. And Dave, this is before I was on the show, you were like, I can't believe you like Triumph. And I was like, I just thought it was a cool shirt.
This is a cool
so
shirt.
I'm a hypocrite. I should take back what I just said.
I did see someone, probably a 12, 13-year-old wearing a Nirvana shirt.
Mm-hmm.
The other day at a quick trip,
at, like,
and I'm like, you don't even know who Nirvana
I know
is.
Some 12-year-olds who are into Nirvana.
Yeah,
that was a weird sentence.
The famous,
you know, a lot of 12-year-olds. All my 12-year-old friends listen to Nirvana.
The famous warehouse at the end of the Raiders of the Lost Ark. Remember that, where they're taking the ark back into all of the boxes?
The storage. Yeah,
was just one painting. Mm-hmm. The entire thing was just one painting.
Oh man!
And all the boxes are full of cheese.
What if that was true?
It's kind of funny.
I now have the article up about the cheese caves. I'm going to read it during the break.
Yeah, enlighten us. Trying to get us in there.
Yeah, I'll try again. I'll try again.
Push them.